It's so good to be back at basic. I'm back there like crying. I try to say yes to being here whenever I can because it really is a special place. I'm not crying. You're crying. I was a worship leader at basic about 10 years ago. I have a picture. So this is a special place for me. We weren't always in this room. We were in Lang Hall. But this is the place where I grew in my faith. And honestly, this is the place where I rededicated my life to Jesus. I strengthened friendships here that are some of my closest friends to this day. I learned about my love for music and for leading worship here. I even got my first jobs here. First with kids ministry music, and then youth ministry music, and then Sunday morning music at the Cedar Falls campus of Orchard. I also met my husband here, and that's actually him in the photo. His name's Brad, and I think this is either like right before we started dating or as we were dating. And I remember staying late after rehearsal to wrap cables and help tear down and like just get a little extra time with Brad to get to know him. And we got married in 2015. We live in Cedar Falls. And then a little over a year ago, we had Jack. He's the coolest guy. Jack loves to dance and he loves music, and anything shaped like a circle is a ba, ba, ba. Sometimes I'm like looking deeply into his eyes and I'm like, I love you so much. It was such a fun day today. And I'll kind of look over and go, bah. Like, one of the things that I worry the most about being a mom was the lack of sleep that can come with raising a child and especially a baby. And one thing that you need to know about me is that I love to be well rested. I have learned that if you say I love sleep, that that makes you sound lazy. So I'm saying that I love to be well rested. And honestly, who doesn't? Part of the reason that I love sleep, though, is because I have amazing dreams. I dream quite often, and there are mornings when I wake up, and when possible, I try to will myself back to sleep so I can find out how the dream ends. But, that doesn't usually work. I have this recurring dream, and in this dream, I am standing side stage at a Beyoncé concert. I don't know where this comes from. I have never been to a Beyoncé concert. I probably couldn't even name 10 of her songs, but I have this recurring dream that I'm standing side stage at a Beyoncé concert, and Beyoncé is out there. I can see her. She's doing her thing. And then backstage where I'm standing, there is like a frenzy of background dancers getting changed into their costume. And then I look down and I notice that I also am wearing a background dancer costume. And before I know it, I'm being pushed out onto the stage with the rest of the dancers. The lights come up. The song begins, and I have no clue what I am doing there. I don't know the dance moves. I don't know where to stand. I don't know what to do. Now what? The dream pretty much ends with me just embarrassing myself, like trying to do the dance a half second after everybody else and just keep up with the other dancers. My husband and I play music together. We write songs and record songs and perform at small clubs and festivals. When we were first married, we both used to work at Orchard, and so we would get off work on a Friday afternoon and pack up everything as quick as we could and make a set list while we were driving to the venue and then go play shows all over the state for the weekend. And after a few years, it kind of got to the point where we started thinking maybe we should just work one job instead of two. And just kind of go for it, like live the dream, play music for a living. And so we both decided to quit our jobs at the same time. And we put in our notice to quit. And our first official day of being self-employed, full-time, living the dream, musicians, was January 1st, 2020. Yes, a gasp. You know where this is going. Email after email rolled in. Canceled show, canceled show, canceled show. Our entire summer tour and beyond, canceled. Our entire means of income, gone. And our plans and our dreams on pause indefinitely. Now what? We have all had now what moments. A now what moment could be good. You graduated college. You got a new job. You got engaged. But sometimes a now what moment is harder than that. Your parents divorce. A loved one dies. A friendship ends. You did something you're not proud of and you got found out. You can't find a way out of your anxiety and depression. Now what? These now what moments can change the trajectory of our lives. So the idea for this series is that BASIC ends next week and change is coming. And maybe this doesn't feel like a big deal to you right now, but for many of you, that I know that this place, BASIC, has been your strongest or perhaps only connection to faith. Maybe this is the only place you sing worship songs surrounded by a room full of other believers. Maybe this is the only place you read your Bible because when you're on your own, it doesn't make sense. Maybe this is one of the only places that someone prays for you out loud. These are your people, and some of them will go back home for the summer, and some of them will move away. Change is coming. Now what? Perhaps one of the most epic now what stories of all time is in this book. And I would argue that this book is actually one big now what story. I want to be honest with you that I experience God in so many ways, through worship, through prayer, through nature, through relationships. I love Jesus's principles and his way, but the Bible is confusing. And sometimes I think it feels good for somebody to just say that so you know you're not alone. I've struggled in the last few years to get into scripture. I've seen people use this book against each other. I've seen people use this book as a set of rules to beat themselves up over and to judge others by, and I don't want any part in that. But as I was preparing for this teaching, as I was praying and asking God how he wanted to encourage us tonight, as I started to open this book back up, verse after verse and passage after passage were jumping off the page with encouragement. Like, I could hardly pick what scriptures to use tonight. I found real encouragement for real life. So if you have a hard time understanding scripture, or if you have a hard time believing it still has relevance today, I get it. But I do believe God wants to use scripture to encourage us. So we're going to open up the Bible in a minute, but I want to try to set the scene. And I need to zoom way out, so I want you all to pretend with me that this is the first time you've ever heard this. People had been waiting and waiting and waiting for generations for the promised king. There were prophecies about him and stories about him. And sometimes someone out of the ordinary would come along and they would say, "Is this the one? Is this the one we've been waiting for?" And then Jesus finally came. And he had a unique first impression. And then he lived a very normal childhood. It wasn't until his 30s, they think, that he began actually doing ministry, healing the blind, feeding the masses, teaching people about a new way of living. And this teaching spread like crazy. Everyone was curious to hear about this new strange way of treating each other with kindness and equality and grace. This unfamiliar new way to be holy. And the people realized this was their king. This was the Son of God. This was the one they had been waiting for. Jesus is here. He's turning things upside down. People quit their jobs to follow him and learn everything that they could from him. And some would say Jesus was just getting started. He was in his prime. But not everybody was on board. Still, some people thought that he was an imposter. It was mostly the religious people who did not like this new way of being holy. They preferred the old way. Thank you very much. So one night, Jesus was having dinner with his friends called the disciples, and he washes their feet, and he tells them how he wants them to live and how he wants them to carry forward this mission of love. And he's telling them all this because he's saying, I gotta go. Go? Now? You're just getting started. Now what? So if you have a Bible, you can open up to the book of John, chapter 16, where I think there's some Bibles in the pews, and it will be on the screen as well. I love how God works. I got to be here last week to hear Amber's beautiful teaching, and she actually taught out of John chapter 15, if you don't remember. So tonight we're going to be in John 16. Amber talked last week about how Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. We are called to remain in him and bear fruit. And so we're going to pick up where you left off last week. So John 16, starting in verse 1. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, I think the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. Jesus says, I have told you this, that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin, because people do not believe in me about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is known from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So there's a lot there, and we don't have time to unpack it all, so I encourage you to go back on your own and see what sticks out to you. But when I read this, the line that jumps off the page to me every time, it is for your good that I am going away. Jesus is telling his best friends, the ones who have followed him, he says, it is for your good that I am going away. Like, I don't understand how that could possibly be. Jesus was the guy. He had the power to heal the blind and part the seas. Jesus was shutting down the religious and showing mercy to sinners and showing people what God looks like. How could it be better if he's not here? The disciples were going to be on their own, and this new way was going to be up to them. Now what? But Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So I looked up the definition of advocate. says it's a person who pleads on someone else's behalf. The original Greek word meant counsel, or one who is called alongside to help. In the Message version, instead of advocate, it says friend with a capital F. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit here. Just as Jesus encouraged and assisted and helped the disciples while he was with them in the flesh, he promises the Holy Spirit would be there for him, like for them, like an advocate, like a counselor, like a friend. And he even said that it would be better. That Spirit that Jesus sent to the disciples when he left is the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, and it's the same Spirit that you and I have access to right now. Everywhere. All the time. A few verses later, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Take heart. You will have troubles. Change will come. But I have told you these things so that you may have peace. I have told you all this so that you will not fall away. I am sending you a helper and an advocate and a friend. In our now what moments, the Holy Spirit is there. Although I'm not sure about the Beyonce dream, I don't really know how that plays into all this, but when you leave this room tonight, you leave with the unlimited access to the Spirit of the living God. When you don't know what to do, you have a counselor. When you feel misunderstood, you have an advocate. When you feel unlovable or alone, there is a friend with a capital F who is always with you, speaking words of love and encouragement over you. When basic is over and you go back to your rental house or back to your hometown or back to your part-time job or taking more credits than you even did in the spring, when you go with a helper who is powerful. Thank you. When you go with a helper who is powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead and powerful enough to carry this Jesus movement through the centuries, through imperfect people. Jesus invited the disciples into the work he was doing, and he knew they would need the Holy Spirit to help them. And in the same way, Jesus invites us into his joy and peace an upside down kingdom way, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us. God doesn't want something from us. As we close out basic, as we leave our normal routine, as we think about what do I want this summer to look like? How do I want to grow in my faith? God doesn't want something from us. He doesn't want us to read the Bible and go to church every Sunday so that, I don't know, we can prove something to him. But he wants something for us and for a broken world. In a world full of hurt, the Holy Spirit invites us to love. In a world full of distractions, God invites us to pay close attention. In a world full of self-centeredness, he invites us to serve. In a world full of striving, he invites us to rest. This upside down kingdom of God, he knew it wouldn't be easy, and so he sent us a helper. I have told you all these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It is better that I go. I am sending you an advocate. Tonight, I want us to think about where we feel the Holy Spirit nudging us. And the nudges can be small. If we're not paying attention, we might miss them. If we're not paying attention, we might miss what God wants to do in and through us. So maybe tonight the Holy Spirit is nudging you to treat yourself a little kinder. Maybe the Holy Spirit is encouraging you and nudging you to take that next step in your faith, that thing that you know you want to do this summer, but it's kind of hard to commit to. Maybe he's nudging you to send that text, to help your neighbor unload his groceries, to forgive a friend even when you still kind of think they were wrong. I don't know about you, but lately, I'm guessing with finals coming up, it feels like I am constantly juggling 15 different things at once. Like my brain is on absolute overload. Like even preparing for this teaching, you know when you're working on a project on your computer and you have so many tabs open, they're so small that you can't even actually tell what any of them say. Like you can't even use them. That's how my brain feels right now. So if you're there, you're not alone. Do you ever walk into a room and completely forget what you went in there for? And the only possible way to remember what you went in there for is to go back to the room that you had the idea in. And if you do that, then you'll remember. Sometimes my husband will ask me to close the garage door. And so he will say, Katie, can you close the garage door? And in that moment, I will turn and I will say out loud, don't forget to remember to close the garage door. Don't forget to remember to close the garage door. Don't forget to remember to close the garage door, garage, 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 until I put my finger on the garage door button and I see it close, then I can stop. Otherwise, it's easy to forget. Our brains are on overload. And so tonight, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. I'm guessing most of you knew that the Holy Spirit was with you, and that sounds really nice, but this summer, as you leave this place, don't forget to remember that the Holy Spirit goes with you and that he is alive and he is powerful. Don't forget to remember that he doesn't want something from you, but he wants something for you and for a broken world. Let's not wait until next fall when we come back to basic to grow in our faith. Let's live every day listening to these nudges of the Holy Spirit, and let's see what God does. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take a few minutes to reflect on some questions, and then we're going to sing, and this is a great chance to practice putting all our attention on the Holy Spirit and see where he's nudging us. So would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, God the Father and Jesus, you are one. It's confusing. But God, I do believe that we feel your presence. What a gift it is that when you left, knowing that we were imperfect, that you sent us a helper. What a gift it is that you promise to be with us in our highs and in our lows and in everything in between. Help us remember. It's in the powerful name of Jesus, who is raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. In the powerful name of Jesus that we pray.